Just feeling that those two songs were like a confirmation to the quickening I had about, you know, the word to bring. I was just praying, but I thought those two songs, you know. So I'm looking at Revelation 15 and 17. I think that I think there's a quickening in those two dimensions. Because they're dealing with the temple. So Revelation 15 it says, I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. When the scripture talks about heaven, we always look at the sky. We always think about the sky, but there is a heaven within us.
Amen.
There are two levels of heaven. There is the spirit of man, is the realm of heaven, and then there is the soul, a lower realm of heaven, that which is in the process of being elevated, quickened, to assume that fullness. At the realm of the spirit, we have there are three work. I don't know what English word to use, but there are three. Well, let's say three dimensions. There is a spirit of man, which is an agent. The spirit of man is an agent for the Spirit of God to walk through, in order to relate with the reality of what God wants, which is the soul. And within the soul has four natures or dimensions, if you use the word nature, just for understanding. And the highest dimension of the soul is the spirit, is the conscience. And the conscience, which is so you speak about consciousness and subconscious, so there is a much higher dimension of the conscience, which is beyond the reach of human feeling. So you say it's the subconscious. So it is that realm of the mind that is in union with the Spirit of God and the spirit of man. So it's a very high dimension. Okay, and you know, so that is heaven, you know, and that is the throne that God is seeking to possess.
Amen.
You know, so it is the mind at the very highest level, you know, which then is that place of judgment. We call it conscience. But it doesn't operate alone. It is operating or in union with the Spirit of God and the spirit of man. The three of them make up that highest point of what you call the heart, you know. But that realm is not pure. That realm is where darkness has been introduced, and that's where the devil has established his kingdom and authority, for which God seeks to cast it down and to install his own kingdom. So if you looking at Hebrews 8, it says, I will put my law in the inward part, and I will write it upon your mind. And you know, if you look at Hebrews 9, for us to put the things I've said in the scriptures, because that's the context of Revelation 15 and 17.
Would the heart be the mind?
What about the heart?
Okay. Now, the heart, the way the understanding I have, the heart works at 4 or 5 levels. Mm-hmm. So it's not a very simple thing. There is a heart at the level of the body.
Yeah.
When you say the word the heart means core, you know, that's Greek and Latin, they all are Greek. Now, when you speak of the heart, it is the core. That thing you draw is not the heart. The so-called thing. That is a Roman Greek symbol meaning something different.
Oh.
Yeah. So the heart is not this organ. But this organ is certainly not the core of the humanity. The core of the humanity is in the brain. It's the brain that it's everything.
Yeah, it makes everything
centered on the brain. That is
God,
the lowest.
God reads the heart, meaning.
Yeah, but that is the lowest dimension of the heart. Does the body? That is the core of my body. Is that central connection? And you know, we in medicine, we will say peripheral nervous system, and the central nervous system. That is, you know, so it all comes together, and the brain controls the body, all the organs. So they will speak of brain death. And you know all that dimension. Okay, so the brain gives command to the body. So the heart really is not the center of the body.
Right.
It's all in the brain. Now, and then the brain has a command, has a role, has a control, which is in the soul.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and there's a connection between my body and my brain and the soul. All right, you will know very much about it. You know, because the mood of the individual controls the way the heart functions and all that. So that is telling you the psychosomatic diseases. That is the diseases that are controlled and brought about by things happening in the soul. Okay, so the soul certainly has dominion over the body, and that is through chemicals, you know, hormones and all those things, you know. So at the dimension of the soul there has to be a heart. So the different natures mm-hmm. in the soul also function. There is a core at which they function, but that function also affects the body and also has a connection to the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we are looking at the heart at the level of the body, heart at the level of the soul, and then within the soul itself, of course, you have those four natures, and now the control of the soul is in the mind. Therefore, you have to go higher in talking about the mind, because the mind is the center of all that is happening in the soul. The Bible talks about the feelings of your mind, you know, the will of the mind. So you see that the mind has connections to the will, emotions, desire. We know that.
Yeah.
You look at scripture, you see it. So it means there is a higher level of control over the soul, and that's in the mind.
What does it mean when it says believe in your heart?
Well, those are technicalities of translation. You know, believe in your heart.
Believe in your, is that mean in your mind?
Yeah. No. What it means is when you say believe, you are talking about the senses of the mind.
The what?
Senses. That is the mind is a sensory organ. Because the mind is able to perceive. You see, when you use the word perceive, when you perceive something, means to be aware of things with the senses, or I will be aware of things happening, or acquire knowledge without the use of your physical eyes. Therefore, you are speaking about the eyes of the mind, the senses in the mind. So, for you to believe means that with your mind, you have been able to grasp a reality of God, a reality that God is showing you. You receive it, you believe it, and you take it in. Okay. So Proverbs says, "My son, give heed to my words.
Mm-hmm.
Incline your ear unto them and write it upon your heart. Bind it upon your fingers. Alright? Put it affrontless before you. What is he saying? You are believing it, because if you believe, you receive it and you begin to walk in it. Because you cannot believe without carrying it out. So faith without works is dead.
Mm-hmm.
So when you believe the word of God, you have received it and you begin to walk in it. You have really believed it. Because there's an action, there's a works that goes with it. You know, so the heart is a very deep thing. So it works at those, you know, those full levels. But of course you can say that it is the core of the different dimensions in the soul coming together and working together, you know, that makes up the heart, you know. But that functioning is controlled by the mind.
Yeah.
And the mind itself is under the control of the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Through your human spirit. That's what 1 Corinthians 2 is saying. So
give me your heart. Okay.
Yes. So the Spirit of God will walk through your spirit to have control and to have effect on the soul.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that is the, you know, so Brassens will say the spirit over the soul, over the body.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you can see that. Mm-hmm. You know, so when you talk of the heart, you can't just look at one aspect. You must take all together. Because the spirit affects the body.
Do you remember his picture of the pendulum? The heart is the pendulum.
Uh-huh.
And it's the mind, the will, the desires and the emotions. And when they all meet, that's where the heart is.
Yes.
And the heart's either on the left side or the right side. It's either foolish or it's wisdom.
You know, in functioning.
But it's the four corners of the soul coming together.
So when the Bible says heaven, traditionally we'll be looking in the sky.
Yeah.
But that's where the devil wants you to look at.
But
the heaven is within us.
Yeah.
And the heaven of God is breaking through into our heaven. It's invading the heaven of our soul. You know, to make it, you know, his own heaven. You know, and then the kingdom of God will have come. You know, so that is what he's talking about here. He says, I saw a sign.
So what chapter were you in again?
15. I was in Revelation 15, then I went over to Hebrews. I like Hebrews, you know. Hebrews, you know, but Hebrews 9,
it
assigns me. I was going to read Hebrews 9:9. You see, which was a figure for the time then present, in which we are offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make the soul that did the service. You say him that did the service is the soul that was bringing the offering, and for whom the offering was brought. It could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. Okay, and then if you go to verse 14, it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So what he's saying is that the conscience is where you have dead works.
It's what?
It's where you have dead works.
Okay.
Dead works come forth from the conscience.
Mm-hmm.
So, and in the conscience of man is not pure. And the purpose, so the old covenant was really to address the same consciousness that was upon the conscience. You know, Adam didn't know sin, so his conscience was pure. When sin came in, he now had a sin consciousness, and the purpose of that sacrifice was to take it away, but he couldn't, because it did not address the conscience, as it were. So God says, because this old covenant couldn't meet that need, he was going to bring a new covenant in which he will write his law. In other words, blood has to be applied to the conscience. The work of redemption must be brought to the conscience to redeem it from the bondage of sin. And if you look at Hebrews 6, you know, that's part of what he's saying. Hebrews 6 is still talking about this conscience. It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God.
Mm.
So the foundational, the foundation of the doctrine of Christ has to do with the conscience. What he says, repentance from dead works. And those dead works are in the depths of the soul.
Mm.
So he says that we are not of those who draw back unto perdition, but to the saving of the soul.
Mm.
Because it's the soul that needs to be saved. And because it's from the soul that you have the dead works coming forth. You know. And if you, and again, to the other dimension of this word is looking at the word dead works. If you touch that works, the word dead works means egon.
Means what?
Egon. Egon. That's a Greek word. It means works, energy.
E-R-G-O-N.
Egon. Okay. Now, egon is the last dimension of darkness.
Is that
E-R-G-O-N? Yes.
Never heard of the word.
Egon.
Yeah.
Egon, works.
I'll have to send her more of Chichoki's messages.
Okay. So Egon is the last dimension of darkness. Darkness has five parts. You know, because I want to talk about darkness, so I'm trying to lay the foundation. We'll continue tomorrow if we don't finish today. But you see, darkness has that five. You see, the seed of darkness, okay, the Greek is called forgotten the Greek word now. Okay, anyway, so there is a seed of darkness, and
talking about a seed.
Seed, seed of darkness, and that's the seed of good of, you know, of the knowledge of good and evil. Now it has to do with the mind, it's knowledge, seed, in the knowledge. Okay, now that seed was planted in the conscience, it was planted in the depth of the mind of Eve and Adam.
Mm.
Okay, so that seed got there. But you see, when the seed got there, the seed has different forms.
Yeah.
All right? So that's the second dimension. It has different forms. So the third dimension of that seed is the manifestation of it. Okay, so the Greeks will call it poneros. That means wickedness. You know, vanity and so on. Now, this darkness that is manifested, all right, the devil needs a factory to produce it and export it. Now, it is that production and exportation of darkness that is called Egon. If you look at it, it says the business or the employment or preoccupation with doing something. That is Egon. You understand? So the mind, the devil had to make the mind to be preoccupied with producing and exporting darkness.
Mm.
That is Egon. You understand? And if you really put your mind to it, all the darkness in this world has come from one mind. And that's Adam. Everything.
Wow.
Yes, everything that you see today. I deal with policy because, you know, when you go into management, he deals with policy. He knows, you know, policy is what determines the policy of the Obama administration. It is incubation of ideas. Obamacare was a brainstorming session. Brainstorm before election. Brainstorm during election. After election, they brainstorm on it and the idea crystallized. and today you are complaining. Alright? But it came from an idea. That's Egon.
Wow.
That's Egon. But you see, that Egon needs a power. And that power is the Sapros. That is, you see, Sapros means is to decay. You know, so when something decays, that means it is increasing in worthlessness. It is increasing in godlessness. It is increasing in wickedness. That's Sapros. So you put a piece of bread here, you come back after 1 month, that bread is still there, but it's decayed. You know what I'm saying? It has grown in the power of darkness in it. So darkness has the power. Alright? But the opposite of Sapros is Zoe, vitality. You know, the life of God.
What is the word?
Zoe. That is vitality.
Okay.
So the life of God doesn't, it's ever increasing. You understand? Yeah. You say, I'll give you life and more abundantly.
Yes, amen.
You know,
amen.
So it's dunamis, that you have life that produces life, mm-hmm. that keeps on producing life. But there's an opposite, wickedness, that becomes more and more wicked.
Mm-hmm.
So it says that the world will wax gross and gross.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right? It says, you know, God's nature doesn't grow, it doesn't decay. But the wickedness in the world is becoming... So it says, behold, the darkness will cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. That is Sapros. That is the power of wickedness. You know? So... This is what was sown into the soul of man, and this is what the church has to overcome. Okay, mm-hmm. so when he says, "Live with the principles of," you know, we have to go down to the things dealing with dead works that are coming forth from the soul. So what God is calling us is not just a church, which the devil wants us to have. But God is looking for a people that can see beyond the church and realize that it has to do with the saving of the soul, you know, and you know what he calls us for. So if we go back to that Revelation 11:15, he's speaking about this overcoming. So I'm trying to get there. Okay, so I saw a sign in heaven, as you know, several angels feel the wrath of God. Verse 2 is actually where, you know, that was the body. He said, and I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and in them that had gotten the victory over the beast, one, and over his image, two, and over his mark, three, and the number of his name, four, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. The sea of glass is speaking about the brazen altar. Sorry, the brazen laver. That's what it's speaking about, the place of consecration, you know, and dedication. Now, Solomon was one that brought in the sea. You remember, he brought in the brazen sea in Kings,
mm-hmm.
you know. And, you know, Moses' own was just a little bowl of water. But he made it he was a mighty, you know. So he expanded that, you know, that experience of consecration. Mm-hmm. And he had these oxen whose hinder parts were looking in and their faces outward, you know, speaking about the strength of consecration and, you know, cleansing of the... So I'm trying to get this out. I'm getting so hot.
On fire.
Yes. No, I'm talking. So I think... No. I have to get that off. Okay, so... So I believe it's speaking about the sea of glass. So if people, and this one was mingled with fire. So it started in the spirit of a cleansing. All right. And this cleansing is necessary. Because if you look at this, the thing that Moses, Solomon did, the hinder part, okay, mm-hmm. which had to do with the pelvic part, were inward.
Mm-hmm.
And the lions were looking out. So there are four lions on each side. Three lions on each side to give you 12 lions, right?
You're talking about the ox.
No. The brazen sea. That's the place of the liver
yeah.
in Solomon's temple.
Oh. The ox were under it.
Oxen.
No, they were.
Okay, sorry, not lions. They were oxen. Sorry.
Yeah.
They were oxen. Yes, they were oxen. Okay. So there were 12 of them, and and that speaks of the consecration of the priesthood, because mm-hmm. in the priesthood had to wear linen breeches to cover the pelvic part, mm-hmm. and so that speaks of the uncleanness that is dealing with the loins, the cleansing of the loins, So the basis of ministry is this purging of the conscience, and that is the strength of the consecration, mm-hmm. and this is where the devil is attacking in the church. There's so much. So much onslaught on the church in the dimensions of the mind,
mm-hmm.
So there's a need for cleansing and overcoming, and that is what he's showing here of a people that had gotten the victory. You understand? And if you, and in fact, when you study more of that temple, whenever the kings, whenever those Babylonians came, the Bible says one of the things they did was to cut off the bases
mm-hmm.
of the
yes
of this
labor. Yes.
They were cut off the bases, and it's to take away the strength of the consecration, and that was a way to bring the fire. So for you and me, the strength of our consecration is in the loins of our mind. All right, and if I'm going to bring. We were just sharing in the car when we were coming. If we are going to bring victory to our loins, then our minds must go to the brazen altar.
Mm.
The mind must come to the place of judgment.
Yes.
Mm.
That is the first stage. And of course, that means there has to be repentance
yeah.
in what goes into my mind.
Yeah.
When someone says, why must I? Well, that is the place of strength. Because if I'm able to realize
yes.
and come to a point of repentance regarding the things that go into the mind,
yeah.
it's a victory. It's a victory. Because the devil will bring condemnation. He will say, oh, you are doing this and that. But he knows you are just about to rise.
Uh-huh.
Because if you're able to bring your mind
yeah.
and say, God, I'm offering my mind. I shouldn't be thinking about this. I shouldn't be walking at this level. So what the devil does is that he's going to release a flood mm-hmm. against your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all coming for, just to bring mm-hmm. defilement. Either bad thoughts or bad feelings, resentment. Mm-hmm. You are going to hear a news. You are going to see something you shouldn't see. You will hear what they said about you, which you shouldn't have heard. Or, those things will come. And what he's doing is to pull the mind down. And when you open up, it brings a defilement.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, like Brother says, we say the gate is shut. You can't hear God. It's closed. Mm-hmm. And if it's closed, you are out of action. It's going to take you some while to get through that, and then to bring yourself again to come.
Mm-hmm.
So the strength of my priesthood, my ability to bring an offering to God, depends on the strength of that consecration, my ability to overcome in that place.
Praise the Lord.
You understand? So we can look at the solution quickly. The solution you find on the first day when God was restoring the earth. That's actually restoring the mind. Mm-hmm. But it says there was darkness over the deep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The deep is the mind, is mm-hmm. the soul. Just it's everything void and dark. You look at your mind, it's confusion, no pattern. You want to pray, that's when the whole thing goes haywire. The whole thing. That is where to start. He said, let there be light.
Light.
And that light is the judgment. That is light begins to come into that situation. You know. So it means I have to, if I'm going to overcome, I must make that is, I must come to a place of consecration. That is to say, I am going to allow the light to come into my situation. That's the first step. So I have a problem, but I'm going to let the light come into it. So now when the light comes, the light is going to do something. If you look at the second day of creation, it says, let the waters above the firmament be separated from the ones that are down. Alright? So the waters above, the waters speak of the soul. Because it says, if you go to Judges 16, it says, he poured out his soul like water. You understand? And what God really did was to pour his soul into that clay. And that was Adam. You know. So the soul is, when you use the word water, you are speaking of the soul. Remember, he says, the waters which thou sawest is what? Are nations and people and tongues. So in the prophetic language, water speaks of the soul. So when he says waters above the firmament, he's speaking about souls that have been separated, you know, from all the carnal situations, you know. So, and that is the point of victory. So if I'm not just repenting, but, you know, I allow the Spirit of God, because that firmament speaks of the administration of the Spirit of God coming into the soul and beginning to separate the darkness from the light. You understand? So the Spirit of God is working to get involved, you know, but I'm not allowing the Spirit of God because my mind, I already have a set way of solving my problems. My car breaks down, I call the mechanic. But yesterday our car was having a problem. This young man prayed and the car got fixed and he brought us
praise
home.
The Lord.
We even called the mechanic. The mechanic said, well, I can't help you. In fact, the mechanic actually prayed for him. You understand? And so the car was fixed by the Holy Ghost. And we got you know. So so it's you know, we have to make a switch. You know, so our head is not, you know, Rasses will say you have to reject your mind. You know.
Amen.
But the thing is, you know, someone says set your affections on the things above.
Yeah.
So it's not just the affection or the emotions, but the will. You know, and the functioning of the mind must be set on the things above.
Amen.
Now look at the mind. It says, Isaiah 55 says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so high are my own mind and thoughts.
Jesus.
Higher than your own. So in other words, there are two realms functioning within you. There is the higher realm and then this other one. But the thing is that we are sticking with this one. We are sure of this. We're not quite sure of God's mind in that situation. Okay? But there is a bridge. And that is the word you are hearing now. He says, I send my word, okay, to bring my mind up to that level. So it's my word that goes forth and will not come back void, but will accomplish that way. So the word of God is to bring my mind, quicken it, and bring it up to a higher dimension. So the more of that word I hear, the higher my mind is rising. You know, the more my mind is becoming heavenly. All right? Now, as the mind becomes more heavenly, there's a product of that. The product is that there's a flow of life to cause the seeds. It says on the third day, all the seeds that were planted began to bring forth. Okay, so that's the lampstand. That's the coming forth, the fruitfulness of the Spirit on the things in the soul. So in other words, your emotions and your desire and your will begin to bring forth the life of Christ for the first time. There is a seed. So that seed of Christ that has been planted is now being watered by the heavens, by the ministry of the Spirit. So gradually there is a change, a reconstruction, as it were, of the functioning of the soul, where the life of Christ begins to break forth. It's not a fool, but it's a very big step, you know, towards having that mind of Christ, you know, the life of Christ beginning to come forth and all that, you know. So I think that's what he's talking about here. So you see that there are four things that we have to deal with. One, victory over the beast.
Yes.
Two, the image of the beast. Now, the image of the beast is the spirit or the idol the beast worships. So it's the image of the beast. The image of the beast is that spirit, that object that the beast worships. That's what he calls the image of the beast. We'll come to it. Then over the mark of the beast. And over the mark of the beast is a pattern of functioning of the soul that is determined by the spirits that rule over the beastly nature. Because they need me to function in that lifestyle so that they can have power and authority. I will explain it. And then finally, the number of his name. That is, the soul must be sealed, you know. So it has to come to fullness, you know. So we will look at this. But if you look at verse 5, that was the song we were singing. It says, "And after this I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open." So we are saying, let this temple be filled with his glory. And if you look at verse 6, it says, "And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts, the breasts gathered with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, which is forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled." So that temple is the soul, you know, is the soul. That's the temple of, that's the temple, God's dwelling place. Say, "I have desired Zion as my dwelling place forever." So Zion is being formed, is being cleansed, is being established. So it's the city of the living God and all that. So right now, so we have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, and so on. So Zion is being put into shape. If we look at Revelation 17, it gives a detail. It says, "And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show unto you the judgment of the great hall that sitteth upon many waters." I have no argument about Europa, those are dimensions of truth. But we're looking at the, because the world is a different dimension. So that's just the historical dimension, which is important. But there is a spiritual dimension of that. So that's what we're looking at. So he says, "Of the great hall that seated upon many waters." So we know the waters there is speaking about the soul. So we are going to prove. He says, "With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication." If we just pass, when you say kings of the earth, it's speaking about a rebellion. The rebellion of Adam was to make Adam a god. So say, "Ye shall be as God if you do so and so." So when Adam ate that, you see, there was an authority and a position offered to Adam if he will be part of what the devil was giving him. So he became a king. He got into that rebellion. So in God's eyes, when he speaks of the kings of the earth, he's speaking about the spirit of rebellion that walked in Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's what he's addressing. And then when he says, having drunk with the wine of our fornication, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. Okay, so when you see wilderness, you must read garden. You must see garden. You must see the canvas, which is the garden. So the soul was in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually the soul came into a wilderness, because what made the difference was the river Euphrates, those four rivers. When they ceased to flow, that realm in which Adam was became a wilderness. There was no life. The life of God wasn't coming. So when he's speaking about the wilderness, he's speaking about the outside and outside of the outer court in the midst of Egypt. He said, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, and having seven heads and ten horns. So he's speaking about the beast, and the beast was carrying a woman. Alright? This beast, he says, it has seven heads and ten horns.
Mm.
The beast, we know, is speaking about the nature of the soul, the dead soul. That is the soul which has fallen from its estate. Now, in Romans 8 says that the carnal man or the carnal nature is a beast. That it is wild, it's not subject to the law of God, it is set in its own way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's neither, in fact it says in enmity against God, that is, it is hostile to God. And it's not subject to it. So he's describing a beast. He's describing a nature, a being that is not subject, you know. So that's what he's saying. So that's a beast. So in other words, you're not just looking at dead soul, you're looking at living soul, and then a redeemed soul. Okay, so that's what he wants us to come on to, that redeemed soul nature. But at the lowest of this soul that is not subject to God, it is not free. It is supporting and bringing ministry and bringing worship to a spirit. Alright? So, and that spirit, he calls it, is typified by a spirit of deception, a woman. Now, if we go back to Revelation 14, he describes this woman. He says that these are they that were not defiled by women. Remember that scripture?
Yes.
He said these ones were redeemed from the earth, and were not defiled by women.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you want to also get the context of that woman, you say, well, which woman is he talking about? At least we can think of two or three.
Mm-hmm.
One was Jezebel, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Jezebel was one of them, and it was a spirit, we know.
Mm-hmm.
So in fact, Jezebel and Ahab,
mm-hmm,
they walked together, is it not?
Yes.
So Jezebel was a, you know, it's speaking of that thing that walked to bring defilement to the soul, you know, in the prophetic dimension. So Jezebel and Ahab walked to bring, or in fact, the defilement in Jerusalem came from the northern people,
mm-hmm,
you know. Okay, and they introduced it. Jezebel came from, his father was Edbal, is it not? Okay, so Omri married her, and her daughter was Athaliah, who was married to this other chap. Who, so you can see the good.
He was married to the king of Judah.
Yes, it's one of those ones.
good answer.
A good answer. It's okay. He went to somewhere. You know. So you can see. So you can see the effect of Jezebel. So
mm-hmm,
it was a spirit that brought the defilement of all the. There's another one. You know. You can think of Delilah. He brought a defilement. You understand? So he says these are they that were not defiled by women. You know. So therefore, so this, I say it is a whore. Alright? And if you go to Proverbs, you see, I mean, it shows there, that brings defilement. You know, so the soul has a problem. It is being ruled by a spirit. Right? Well, you can draw the line as, okay, Paul said you are not wrestling against principalities and powers, but so there are spirits that rule. Now, how did these spirits get authority over the soul? You can only go back to Genesis to see. So when that seed came in, that seed wasn't just quiet, it was active, multiplying. So it has now multiplied to a kingdom. So you can see the serpent has become like a dragon. Alright? Now Nana has 7 heads and 10 horns. You know, so there is a whole realm of spirits ruling over the soul. So the problem I have to overcome, it looks complex but it's simple. The problem I have to overcome is one, the fallen nature of the beast. I must overcome it. Now, and like I said, it's not just a question of saying willpower. My will, from today, I'm going to read my Bible, forget it. It's more than that. Because you're not just dealing with will, because the will has no energy in itself. So the mind must get that energy for it and give it to him, for him to rise up. You understand? But how can the mind bring it when there are principalities and powers, high wickedness, rulers of the darkness, ruling over it? Okay, so that is what you call the image of the beast. Mm-hmm. Alright? Good. Now, so one level is the beastly nature of the soul. The second level is these spirits that are feeding off the beastly nature of the soul. So, in other words, it is in the interest of the devil that my soul mm-hmm. continues in that realm of darkness. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, darkness is a garment. It's a clothing that enables me to function as a priest of darkness. Mm-hmm. As long as I have darkness, then there are spirits ready to feed off me. So if I want to change, I have to do the basic thing. Change my basic nature mm-hmm. from darkness to light. Because if I put on light, automatically those spirits will not have any interest in me because they cannot receive life from me. Mm-hmm. So the more dark I am, the more life they get from me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And but the thing is that the soulish, the nature of the soul is not static.
Sorry, no.
He says, in the day you die, you will continue to die. So the soul is becoming more and more and more and more and more and more dark. Yes. So the devil is sure he's going to get more and more energy because he's seen the soul degrading and getting more depraved. Exactly. So it's going down. You understand? So the second level is that I'm not just dealing with my soul.
Yeah.
You're dealing with waters.
Mm-hmm.
You're dealing with the water. You're dealing with masses. There are other souls also that are falling. So these spirits are feeding not just on me, they're getting life from. And there are not many people who have made the effort you have made this morning today to come and hear the word.
Praise God.
Not many people are ready to make the effort you have made to
Amen.
Come.
Not many people are willing to make the effort you made tonight to come.
Oh, yes.
Praise
okay.
God.
I had an accident. Head injury. Medicine says you're out for 1 month. And I got on the plane. I said, forget it. I'm traveling. All right. So I'm working on a different level of physics and physiology and all that because I know I have to do it. In other words, there are some who are not willing to do that.
Amen.
Good. So because they're not willing, so the devil is sure he will have souls to feed upon. So that itself forms another level. That's what you call the world.
Mm.
You understand? So you're dealing with your fallen nature. You're dealing with the spirit ruling over. Yeah, then you are dealing with the fallen nature of other souls and the spirit ruling over that. That is the world. That's what you call the world. Alright? Okay. And then lastly, the devil is there.
Himself.
He's seated. So he's right at the. You know, so you have these levels. Okay. So he's saying here you must, one, overcome the beast.
Amen.
Two, you must overcome the image of the beast, the spirits that this beastly nature is giving life to. Now, the third one, he says, you must overcome the mark.
The mark.
The mark of the beast is not all this computer thing Paul is talking about.
It's not 666.
It couldn't be 666. The mark of the beast is a spirit that has impacted on the emotion. It's a spirit that has, it has gained authority over a dimension of the soul. And because that spirit has gained, okay, let's take anger for instance. Anger has come in, it has established itself, right? So the mark of the beast means that that spirit is going to do all it can to make you manifest the nature of anger, not just anger, the natures of anger. You understand? Because because if you walk in that nature, it gets life. So it is fighting for its life. It wants energy. It's a vicious fight. Because it wants you to be angry. And of course, these spirits are coming way down the line. Okay? The ancestral spirits, they've gotten energy from your father, you know, down. And right now, they have come. So the devil is going to play anything he will do to get you to walk in that nature. That's the mark of the beast. It's a spirit. And of course, the very difficult ones, you call it besetting sin. Alright? You say, oh, there's a besetting sin. A besetting sin is a spirit that has set up a particular form of behavior, pattern for you to follow. And they insist you walk in it. So, to overcome besetting sin is not a matter of, well, today, what I've done is bad. I'm not going to do it again. No way. Because Jesus said, this spirit, they do not come out, they say, by fasting and prayer.
Is that why they get so annoyed when we break their routine?
Exactly. Because, see, you are breaking out of a norm that they have set for you to. So there are spirits, and these spirits, they are lodged in the various chambers of the soul. Mm. It's because, see, the soul is in chambers. Mm-hmm. Remember, Proverbs 29 says, 27:20 says that the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, giving light to the chambers of the soul. Okay. The Greek word, the Hebrew word, chamber, chebers, means bedrooms, partitions within the soul.
Cubicles.
And that's what Ezekiel saw. He saw these chambers and windows and houses. So, who do you think is living in all those places? That's spirits. Spirits are there. Yes. So, that's why he says, my son, hide my word in you. What he's saying is, I have to open up my soul so that the word of God will seep into. And as it goes, there's bringing judgment. Because you say the light shines in darkness. And the darkness will. So, the deliverance I need is the word, is to receive the word and hide it. The word will do its work. You understand? So I'm not going to have a prayer meeting. A prayer meeting today is to pray that the word of God in me will work. Do you do that? You don't have a prayer meeting that the word of God in you will work, because it will work.
We just believe it.
The entrance of the word brings life. So my duty is to bring the word in. It says, how will a young man overcome? By hiding the word within. Okay? So the other one says, Psalm 119 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not. You understand? So there are spirits that have lodged within the soul, within the mind. You know, those four angels at the four corners of the earth. You know, it's like they are there. They are walking to tear up and destroy. And it says, hold on. Until we do. So in other words, there are two types of sealing going on. Darkness is sealing the soul, and light is also. So there's a race. Because there's a time given. We have a time to seal and a time to destroy. So they said to Jesus, have you come to take us away before
the time?
They have a time allotted. You know. But the challenge we have is that we are not aware. That's one. Of this overcoming. That's one.
Praise
two,
Lord.
Because see, you have to be aware, then you have to be focused. You have to be determined. Because you know what you have to do and you are set on doing it. So amongst us, we're not even aware to even come to the second dimension of all of us being focused to do it. Because if all of us here have the understanding and we're focused, then there's a power.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
you understand? That's where the power is.
That's
all right?
What we're lacking.
Good. Now, and that's what the devil does not want to happen.
Right.
So he's going to bring distractions, he will do all kinds of things. And, and the purpose is just to not to bring that understanding, that commitment. Because see, the kingdom of God suffers violence.
Mm-hmm.
And men of violence will take it. And then that was the post today, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was the, is it today or yesterday?
Today was Kings and Priests.
There was some, one, a place of violence. Taking the kingdom by violence. Okay, this I read it somewhere. You know. So, okay, so no, it was, that was in the Austin Sparks. That was in the Austin Sparks. Yes. Okay. So, there is a commitment that I need.
Amen.
And that commitment is to break through.
All right.
And that commitment is to know I have to get these spirits out.
Yes.
Now, okay, now we can see the type. When you get into the promised land, there were six spirits that you have to overcome.
Right.
And you see, he repeated it in Exodus 23.
Uh-huh.
Repeated it in Deuteronomy. So that when you are coming to this land, one, you will not marry their sons.
Mm-hmm.
They will not marry their daughters. You will not worship their gods. You will break their pictures, their images, their altars. Everything, you break it down. And then he says, then you must drive out the Amorites, drive out the Perizzites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and the
Amorites.
And the Amorites. Okay. Now, so
the Canaanites.
Now, so those spirits, there were specific spirits that they had to overcome. All right. And the first two, Og and Sihon, were giants. All right. So that someone says, "Well, I cannot overcome these spirits, but I'm going to heaven." What heaven am I going to go to?
Right.
When I don't. So one thing is to come into the promised land, then the other thing is to drive the spirits out.
Yes.
You understand?
Praise the Lord.
And to come into the promised land is, if I come into the promised land, the manna ceases.
The what?
Manna. The daily manna
ceases.
Stops the day you come into the promised land. In other words, you get the life you get is what you get in the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you have to feed, you have to get the life from the overcoming that you get.
Mm-hmm.
So that means you have to walk by the Spirit to get the life. So you must feed at that, altar, table of showbread, and receive life from the Spirit. So the life, the Word, and the Spirit. Is what gives you life, the ability to receive. You understand? So, I think we'll just stop here today. But I was just trying to lay the foundation because for me, I think that what is most important is to be able to have a vision. I see that there is no vision.
No vision. Amen.
That's, for me, that's the greatest danger.
And
I'm speaking of myself because once in a while I get distracted onto other things. You know, I don't see myself pushing. I'm looking at this thing being very clear for me. That is, it's clear what I'm dealing with, where I'm going, and so on. You know, so tomorrow I believe we will have time, you know, to look at some of those dimensions. We were speaking about the Philistines. The principle of the Philistines, you know. So there are these principles, and each one of them represents a specific dimension of spirits that he requires us to deal with and how to overcome them. Now, is it by coincidence that some of this, you know, when you talk of giants, then you have to refer to the Philistines. You know, you say there are three of the giants belong to three of them: the Gath, Ekron, and Gaza. That's where you find the giants. And guess where Goliath was from?
Yeah.
From Gath. All right, and the Gath speaks of wine and pleasure. So one of the things that is terrorizing the church is passions. Sins of passions.
Mm-hmm.
The lusts of passions. And God requires a people, a David that will rise up and slay that Goliath
mm-hmm.
and set the people of God free.
You're saying where you don't have a passion.
No. It is the passions that are ruling. Because most of the problems, you relate them to emotions and the desire. And the emotions and the desire are the things that have taken the mind captive. So the carnal mind
okay.
is being ruled by...
So the mind is being ruled by our emotions,
exactly.
our will and our desire.
Exactly. So the mind is fallen and it's doing what the emotions and the desire
yeah.
wants it to do. So, you know, so we have to rise, not just in understanding, but in action.
Yes,
you know, action,
my soul must, and that's where wisdom comes in. You know, wisdom is the ability of the mind to give direction to the emotion, desire, and the will. That is wisdom. When you look at it, that wisdom means it has to do with the response of the soul to the word of God. That's wisdom. And there, so it's like you have carnal wisdom, or see, there's a wisdom that comes from God, and it's open. If you ask God, He will give it to you. But there's another wisdom that comes from there, that's carnal, that makes me, you know, react. And it's very easy, very cheap. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Very, and that is what my soul is convinced. It works. So, if I'm in the tight condition, what I do is switch onto the American wisdom or Nigerian wisdom and get this thing done. But then I'm not being the son of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
Because the son of God will walk by the wisdom of the Father.
Yeah.
You understand? So if my soul does not have that wisdom, then I'm a child.
Mm-hmm.
And God cannot bring a child into a place of authority.
Amen.
Right. You understand? You know, so for me to come into a place of authority, then I must be wise. Yes, I must have the wisdom of the Father. I must know the mind of the Father.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Someone always says that how you know a matured marriage is where you have a wife that will do exactly what the husband would do in an emergency when the husband is not there.
When what?
When the husband is not there.
There's an emergency in the house, and Wayne is not there. But he has to take an action. You have to act for him. Maturity means that you are going to do exactly what he would do if you were not even able to talk to him. That is a marriage that has come to maturity.
Pretty mature.
And it works both ways. You understand? So when you think about Christ, that's we have the mind of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm being pressured beyond measure. And my action, my response will be exactly what Jesus would have done.
Mm-hmm.
That is sonship.
Yeah.
And we are very, very far from it.
And the beginning is to reject our mind.
Exactly. You know, so we have to make that transition from just being children to the place of majority.
So
the place of authority.
So going back to vision.
Yes.
Because I think there's a key there.
It's a key, yeah.
The church of which I'm a part, I mean, it just flashed to me. What do you know is we say, well, without a vision, the people perish.
Mm-hmm.
And so immediately we jump to an outreach program or
a dead work.
Something, build a building, do this, do that, you know, have like you said, Bible study three times a week or, you know, and the vision has to be that I am taking that hill.
Yes.
That's right.
Overcoming.
That's right.
An army
That's right.
It has to have a vision them to...
A project, mission.
Yes. Their mission is, we're taking that hill.
That's
you,
right.
You may not know what the hill is good for other than to get the high ground.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
And that has to be the vision of our...
And there is a trumpet that's blowing now.
Mm-hmm.
All who want to be candidates are responding, not will, are already responding to it. So there is something that's happening in the church. God is beginning. There's a reordering that's taking place because there are people who are seeing, are hearing, and they're responding.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So God is shifting things around to be able to get a people who have that focus and are actually marching on to that, beginning to take their places and begin
possession of the soul.
Yes, he says, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell." And the gates of hell, you know, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of